This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Sometime between 2 and 3 p.m. on August 21st, depending upon exactly where you are in the two Carolinas, you will experience a partial or total eclipse of the sun. This astronomical event will be readily viewable in North America, but those in a line from Oregon to South Carolina will have the best view. In fact, South Carolina is in a prime viewing location for a total eclipse as the moon transits across the sun. In some places, it will be completely blotted out. The moon will completely blot out the sun for several minutes. This is the first solar eclipse to travel coast to coast across the United States in almost 100 years, and excitement has begun to build for what is being called the Great American Eclipse. We're going to spend the hour talking about various aspects of this celestial moment, and we begin by welcoming some experts. Jack Howard is the Solar System Ambassador. What planet are you from?
I was born on planet Earth. Okay. I haven't left yet, although I would like to.
Jack Howard is the Solar System Ambassador for NASA and a retired professor of physics and astronomy at Rowan Cabarrus Community College. He's still an adjunct there. Thank you for joining us.
That's correct.
Thank you for remaining on Earth for the duration of this program. And Kristen Thompson is also with us. She's an assistant professor in the physics department at Davidson College, where she teaches both physics and astronomy. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
Good to see you. We're going to be talking about where to get the best view of this eclipse, how to look safely at it, and more, including eclipse tourism as we go through the hour. And we've put a link on our website at WFAE.org where you can go to see what kind of experience you can expect during this eclipse. All you have to do is type in your zip code, and it tells you everything you need to know about what time it's going to come your way and how much of an eclipse you'll see. If you'd like to join our conversation, email us at charlottetalks@wfae.org or search for WFAE on Facebook, where we're broadcasting this morning on Facebook Live, or get to us through Twitter at Charlotte Talks. So, how often do solar eclipses occur in the world? Is this a weekly event, a monthly event? How often does this happen? Jack?
Solar eclipses will happen somewhere on the surface of the Earth about twice a year. It's really fairly common, but the rarity occurs because the location where you can see a solar eclipse is a very narrow band. Mm-hmm. We've had a number of solar eclipses in the last couple of years that don't come anywhere close to the United States. In fact, it's been 38 years since we've had one that was visible from the continental U.S.
So where these happen on a twice-yearly basis, do people elsewhere make as much of a big to-do of it as we are here? Kristen?
I think people are always excited when there's a total solar eclipse that occurs near them. There are people who are eclipse chasers. They spend their entire lives, they spend their entire careers chasing these things. They will travel across the world for 2 minutes of totality and then fly home. So people are generally very excited about eclipses. This eclipse in particular, we are very excited about in America because it's called the Great American Eclipse because it only touches American soil. So no other country in the world is able to see totality for this eclipse, which makes us feel kind of special, and it makes it exciting for us. And the last time that has ever happened was way back in the year 1257, which is before we were even America. So whether or not we can claim that we've ever had a total solar eclipse that was only seen from America or not, that's debatable. But it certainly is a cause for much excitement.
It's the 21st century. I should not have to ask this question, but I'm going to ask this question because I read yesterday that people are still, it used to be when eclipses occurred, people would think terrible things were going to happen because they didn't know science and they didn't know exactly what was going on, because here it is the middle of the day and all of a sudden it's pitch black dark out there. So people believed a lot of different things, like if you are pregnant, you should not watch an eclipse because it can harm your baby. Eclipses will poison any food that is prepared during the event. Eclipses are harbingers of something bad about to happen. None of this is true. There are no mystical side effects to solar eclipses. Is that right, Jack?
That is correct. We are simply watching the moon pass in front of the sun.
Okay, just wanted to check.
Any old wives' tales you wish to attribute to that are limited to your own imagination. those of us in science like people that think that way because we find it all very amusing.
So I'm looking at a map here of the United States, and you can go online and see these maps. This one was prepared by NASA, and it shows you the transit of this solar eclipse, and depending upon where you are in North America, how much of a total eclipse you will see. And the transit begins in Oregon, and it goes through Idaho and all those upper northwest states and then through the middle of the country. There are no states on this map. I can't see the states. But it ends in Charleston. It starts landfall in a beach in Oregon, and it ends on a beach in Charleston, South Carolina. When's the last time the whole country has been involved in an eclipse like this?
1918. Been 99 years.
Okay. And when will the next one occur?
The next one, coast to coast, I don't know. We're going to have one in 7 years that'll go from Texas to Illinois.
The next one coast to coast, I believe, is the year 2318 or something like
2318?
That. 2318? I believe that's right. It's
that sounds about right.
A long time from now.
Folks, I hate to break it to you. None of us will be here then, so enjoy this one while you can. My goodness. They have plotted out the exact path of this eclipse across the United States, including where total eclipse will be from Oregon to South Carolina. Who did the work on that? Astronomers or physicists? Kristen, do you know?
I think it was a collaboration of people. I know there are some really cool maps that have been made. I think probably geologists have been involved as well.
Really?
Thinking about the projection of the moon's shadow as it touches the Earth's surface is quite complex. It may not seem as complex as it is, but it is actually quite complex because we have mountains and we have valleys, and thinking about how that shadow will actually project onto the surface is very complex. So I think it was a lot of astronomers, lots of physicists, and I would think lots of geologists as well, but Jackie may have something to add.
Yeah, a lot of this goes back to a retired scientist from Goddard Space Flight Center. His name is Fred Espenak. Uh-huh. He started watching eclipses many, many years ago, and for the Goddard Space Flight Center, he's done a lot of calculations, developed the algorithms to predict where eclipses go. And when you look at Google Maps or just about any interactive map that you see online right now, most of that is based back on algorithms that Fred Espenak developed for that. In fact, he has done this for so long that he is now just referred to as Mr. Eclipse.
Because not only have they plotted out precisely where this path will be and where you need to be to see a total eclipse, 98% eclipse, you know, 80% eclipse, et cetera, going north and south of that, we knew exactly when this was coming. We know the date and the time, and we know when the next one is coming, and we've known this since before computers. So how do we know this? How do we know? How have we figured this out over the years? Computers, I understand, they can do anything. But how have human beings been able to figure this out?
Actually, that comes from simply knowing the orbits of the planets, the moon around the Earth around the sun, and so on. And we have known the details of that for quite some time. The first recorded solar eclipse was October 2134 BC. Just with the naked eye observations, we've been recording these things for thousands of years. And back in the 1700s, Edmund Halley, for whom Halley's Comet is named, just doing paper and pencil calculations, he predicted the track of an eclipse across England, and he missed totality by 4 minutes, and he missed the path by about 12 miles.
Wow.
Which, using pencil and paper, was quite
amazing.
Good back then.
Yeah. How excited are the two of you? It's one thing for tourists to be excited, and we're going to talk about tourism in a second here, but how excited are you, because you're both scientists, how excited are you about this eclipse, Kristen?
I am very excited about this eclipse. As we just said a few minutes earlier, there hasn't been a total solar eclipse in the continental U.S. for 38 years. Since 1979. I've not been able to see one before. This is the first one that will occur since I've been on this earth. So I am very excited for the opportunity to get to go see this eclipse. And I hope that a lot of people are excited, not just the science community. I think this is a great opportunity for the public to really engage in science. I think that now we are so busy with our hectic lives. We're always on devices, and people don't take the time anymore that they used to look up and appreciate the sky and the universe and our place in it. So I think this is a great opportunity, not just for scientists, but for public and children as well, to engage in science.
So you're the solar system ambassador, so I'm sure you've seen these eclipses on other planets, Jack. So this is old hat to you, but a lot of people don't trust science or scientists anymore. Why should they trust you on this eclipse? Why should I make vacation plans to go find the total eclipse area? Because it could be fake facts. It could be false. How do I trust you?
Well, the simple way is the approach that Galileo took. He turned his telescope to the heavens and saw things that kind of proved the sun was the center of the solar system. And back 400 years ago, people didn't believe him. Yeah. He handed them the telescope and said, here, see for yourself. So when the solar eclipse comes along, you know, we're making wild predictions about how dark it's going to be, the temperature's going to drop, your pets are going to go crazy. Simply come out and watch and see it for yourself.
NASA says that total eclipse will begin on August 21st at 10:15 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time in Lincoln City, Oregon. But the eclipse will actually begin at 9:05, because that's when the transit of the moon across the sun begins, Pacific Daylight Time. It will end in Charleston, South Carolina, at 2:48 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, with the last of the moon shadow disappearing by 4:09 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on August 21st. In fact, as I said, you can go to our website and you can link yourself to a site where you can type in your zip code and get the exact time and the degree of eclipse that you'll experience in your zip code. That seems to be amazingly accurate. Are we more accurate than Edmund Halley was? Are we down to the second now? We can do this?
Oh, yes. If you go to any of the interactive maps, they'll give you the first contact when the moon's disk first started crossing the solar disk, the peak of totality. You can get any of that down to a tenth of a second.
Wow. And NASA has set up official viewing stations around the country. And you can go to eclipse2017.nasa.gov to see that list. How did NASA choose these particular viewing locations? Was it all NASA, or was it cities like Columbia, who we'll talk to in a moment, offering themselves up?
As best I understand, that was a collaboration. NASA wanted to have some official viewing sites, and several locations volunteered for that. The one that I'm familiar with, the location my wife and I will be, is the Pisgah Astronomical Research Institute. It's an observatory west of Brevard, and that's one of those locations. So.
That used to be a federal installation. We've talked about this location.
Yes, it
used
was.
To be a way that we tracked NASA astronauts and Soviet spy satellites, and now it's a science education center. Why did you choose that location?
Primarily because I've been there before, did some volunteer work there about 10 or 15 years ago, and chemistry and physics faculty from Rowan Cabarrus decided to go as a group and view the eclipse in that location.
Jack Howard is a solar system ambassador with NASA, and we're going to find out where Kristen is going to view this exhibit or this solar eclipse, and we're also going to go to Columbia, which is an official viewing station, when we come back on Charlotte Talks.
And if your head explodes, the dark proposes too. I'll see you on the dark side.
Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, dedicated to diagnosing and treating cataracts with a variety of techniques and technologies, with 19 locations across the Carolinas. Details at goodsenses.com. And Blumenthal Performing Arts, presenting the Encore Series 5, Broadway shows including The Lion King, Les Miserables, and The Book of Mormon, plus more. Info and tickets at 704-372-1000. The culture war over LGBT rights has resurfaced with an abrupt decision by President Trump to reinstate a ban on transgender military members, followed by a Justice Department court filing arguing federal civil rights law does not protect gay employees from on-the-job discrimination. Experts in employment and civil rights share their views on where LGBT rights stand and where they're headed tomorrow in this program at 9.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, wider crackdowns and opposition leaders seized from their homes. We'll ask what's next for Venezuela. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
This morning from 10 to noon, right after Charlotte talks with Mike Collins on listener-funded public radio 90.7 WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're sitting here talking to Jack Howard, Solar System Ambassador for NASA, a retired professor of physics and astronomy at Rowan Cabarrus Community College. Kristen Thompson is with us, an assistant professor of physics at Davidson College, and we are talking about the solar eclipse that will happen on August the 21st, beginning in Oregon and going across the entire United States, continental United States, to exiting the nation in Charleston, South Carolina at 4 o'clock on August the 21st. And we are very near an area where you can see total eclipse here in Charlotte. We'll talk about that a little while from now. Jack, you said, you're going to be watching this on August 21st from the Pisgah Astronomical Research Institute near Rosman in western North Carolina. And they'll be using their giant radio telescopes, I understand, during this eclipse to do, quote, real science, unquote. What will they be doing, and how does the real science they can do for the 2 minutes of a solar eclipse compare to what they do when the sun goes down at night?
Okay, the sun puts out a lot of energy beyond the visible part of the spectrum. You know, we see the light that our eyes pick up, but the sun also puts out a tremendous amount of energy in other forms like radio waves and X-rays and whatnot. Perry has two very large radio telescopes that they'll have turned towards the sun. On a normal day, they would pick up most of the radiation coming from the sun itself, mm-hmm. the actual body of the sun. During totality, the moon is going to block that out, so they will be able to pick up fainter radio signals coming from the corona of the sun. That's the outer atmosphere around it. The energy coming from that corona is much weaker in terms of visible light. That corona is going to look kind of like a night with a full moon. And if you want to pick up something that dim, you need to block out the big part of the sun. It's kind of like blocking out headlights so that you can see the car that's coming towards you. And they'll have their radio telescopes pointed towards that corona to see what kind of information they can get from radio signals.
Well, now, this is not the first time this has happened around the world, as we've said. So they must have done this elsewhere on the planet during a solar eclipse. What have they learned in the past?
We've learned some very interesting things. Here on Earth, we tend to think, okay, it's hot on the surface, and the higher up you go, it gets cooler. We know that here on Earth, there are some areas of the atmosphere that actually get warmer. The sun, we found out something very interesting that we don't fully understand. The surface of the sun is about 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit.
Mm-hmm.
And as the corona expands away from that, the gas gets thinner. Our early expectation was that this atmosphere is going to get cooler as it gets farther out in space. But we have found some places out beyond the surface of the sun, beyond the visible surface, that the temperature actually goes up to about 1,000,000 degrees, and we really don't understand why that's happening.
That would not be good for our astronauts passing through, would it?
Probably not.
Kristen, you'll be in Winnsboro, South Carolina to witness this on August the 21st. Why did you choose Winnsboro?
I chose Winnsboro for a few reasons. First of all, path of totality. You need to get there. If there's any way you possibly can get your body physically under the shadow of the moon, you need to.
In my zip code, we're going to be 98.3% total. What's the difference between 98.3% and 100% total eclipse?
Literally day and night.
Oh, darn.
Literally day and night.
I was hoping you would say not much.
No, there's a huge difference. Instead of saying 98% of totality, it might be better to think of it as 2% of the sun being exposed, because it's that 2% that's exposed that really creates a huge difference. If you think about the sun and how bright it is, it's several hundreds of thousand times brighter than the full moon. But if you think of having just 2% of that sun exposed, you're still going to have something that's a few thousand times brighter than than the full moon. So it's still going to be pretty bright. So you really need to get into totality.
Now, wait a minute, because you said earlier in this program that you had never experienced the total eclipse, and you're telling me that you have to get there or it's just not. How do you know? This is hearsay. Hearsay is not admissible.
Well, there have been several people who have experienced it, right? These things have happened, and it goes back to, you know, you've got to trust us. If you don't want to trust us, you need to absolutely experience it yourself. So I'm headed to Winnsboro. I'm really excited to experience this. The other reason I've chosen Winnsboro goes back to some history of Davidson College. In May of 1900, a total solar eclipse passed through Winnsboro, and one of our past physics professors and past college presidents, Dr. Henry Smith, traveled to Winnsboro as part of a major eclipse expedition to observe the sun and see what they could learn, some of these same experiments that Jack just mentioned. And so what we are doing is commemorating that 1900 eclipse expedition that happened 117 years ago, and also celebrating the Great American Eclipse by returning to the site of that 1900 observing station and hosting a public event so everybody can come to this historically significant place and experience the eclipse.
Is it too late to make plans for that?
I would say you need to try. Okay. I know that if you are coming from out of town, at this point it may be difficult to find hotels nearby. But there are campgrounds, there are ways to do it. You need to try. I would also like to add that we had talked previously about official NASA viewing locations, and the Winnsboro site is also one of those official NASA viewing locations, and we're hosting that. It's open to the public. We certainly encourage people to come visit us.
On a diagonal line from the Pacific Northwest to the Southeast United States, this eclipse will be total. And one of those key places is South Carolina, and this is, we just talked about this, this is spawning something called eclipse tourism, because if you live in Charlotte, you got to go someplace else to see this total eclipse. South Carolina has been getting ready, especially in places that are the prime viewing locations, and one of those spots is that state's capital city, and here to talk about that is Andrea Mensink, Director of Communications for Experience Columbia, South Carolina, that city's Visitors Bureau. Andrea, welcome to the program.
Hi, great to be with you.
Nice to have you here. NASA says that Columbia is one of the places along the path of the eclipse, planning for big, big crowds. You're building yourself as the total eclipse capital of the East Coast. How many people are you anticipating hosting for this?
That is a great question. Earlier this year, we had discussions with NASA officials, and they told us if weather conditions are right, that the state of South Carolina could see upwards of 1 million visitors coming in to experience the eclipse. And as of right now, we know, I mean, we, by gauging hotel occupancy and ticket sales from some of our attractions and events that are hosting and special programming around the eclipse weekend, we know we have visitors coming at this point from all over the world into Columbia to experience the eclipse.
So that means big traffic on the interstates and the interstates through Charlotte, one would imagine, because to get to Columbia from some parts of the area, you have to come through here. When do you think people will start arriving, and when will they be leaving?
That's a great question. We do know we've been polling area hotels throughout our metro area once a week to kind of gauge occupancy. And we know, for example, on August 18th, we're at about 50% occupancy. August 19th, we're at about 65% occupancy. And then August 20th and the 21st are looking closer to 100% occupancy.
So is it too late? Is it too late to get a hotel room in Columbia for this?
We do know there are a few motels with availability left for August 20th and 21st, and then there are numerous options if you are looking into alternative accommodations like Airbnb, VRBO, and others. For example, I did a quick search this morning on Airbnb, and there are 49 spots available within the Columbia area on that site. And part of that, and that's for August 20th and through the 22nd. And part of that, we think, is we've heard from locals that they're starting to list their homes or rooms in greater numbers on sites like Airbnb. Mm-hmm. So it's replenishing supply. And so there is availability. Again, a few motels with availability, but Airbnb and options like
so
that.
So is it safe to say that the crowds in Columbia for this event will be bigger than your typical Carolina-Clemson weekend?
Yes, and we are planning with that. And I know Derek, when he is on the show, he can kind of speak to the statewide efforts for traffic management and crowd experience. But we're planning for the crowds and to make it a great experience.
Okay, so in Columbia, the eclipse will begin at 1:13 p.m. on August 21st and continue until 4:06 p.m., but your city will experience the longest total eclipse on the East Coast for a metro area. How long is long?
So in our metro area, it'll be anywhere between 2 minutes and 30 seconds to 2 minutes and 36 seconds of totality. And the totality will begin at 2:41 p.m.
Okay. And you've planned all kinds of events surrounding this for this 2.5 minutes.
Yes. There are over 100 events planned throughout the Columbia metro area for the weekend of the eclipse. So that's from Friday through Monday. So over 100 events at this point. Some are selling out. There are others with tickets available. Mm-hmm. And just a huge array from festival-type events to arts and cultural events, baseball games, and everything in between.
Wow. So I know you're having paddling on the Lower Saluda River. Is that during the eclipse? So you'll be paddling in the daylight and the nighttime and the daylight again?
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's going to be a really cool experience. So that's a guided river tour, and they will start the tour earlier in the day and have planned it so they will arrive at a sandbar that's kind of away from any city lights or noise around the time of totality, take in that experience there on the river, have a champagne toast after it's all said and done, and then go back to paddling. So I think that'll be a really, really neat experience.
And get yourself some fried chicken from Lizard's Thicket.
Yes, absolutely.
Any advice to people heading your way to Columbia, either the weekend of or the day of the eclipse?
Yeah.
Any advice for them on parking, on traveling in, getting out, being safe, etc.?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely leave time. So if you're traveling down from the Charlotte area, buffer in extra travel time to get into the area. And then as far as parking goes, the City of Columbia is opening up all of their city lots, so they will be available for free parking that Monday. And then there are several events that will be able to accommodate large crowds and parking that still have tickets available. So an example of this would be the Soda City Eclipse Viewing Festival at the historic Columbia Speedway, and they're going to have water slides, cooling mists, free eclipse glasses, live music, food, and so forth, and they can accommodate anywhere between 8,000 to 10,000 guests.
Wow.
And they're set up for parking as well. Another one is the Total Eclipse Tailgate at the South Carolina State Fairgrounds, and they regularly host the University of South Carolina Gamecock football games. So they're, again, used to large crowds. They have parking. They have RV spaces, and they're all set up for that.
Are they opening Williams-Brice? They should open Williams-Brice and let people sit in the stadium and watch the eclipse.
I do believe the university does have some programming around the stadium that day. In fact, the University of South Carolina's football team will be hosting practice that evening there. But in terms of stadium seating, the Columbia Fireflies minor league baseball team, they're a Class A affiliate of the New York Mets. Uh-huh. They are scheduled to host the Rome Braves for a 1:05 p.m. game the afternoon of August 21st. So there'll be stadium seating, obviously, available there. And they've dubbed the game the Total Eclipse of the Park. So they will stop the game just before the total eclipse occurs at 2:41 p.m. local time.
Okay.
And then everyone, including fans and players alike, will experience the 2 minutes and 36 seconds of totality together and then resume the baseball game afterwards.
Sounds like great fun.
Yeah, so there are definitely opportunities if you're in the Charlotte area to still come in and experience 100% totality.
Okay, Andrea Mensink is Director of Communications for Experience Columbia, South Carolina. They're expecting that this will be the largest tourism event in the history of Columbia. And it should be, because it, what did I call it? The total eclipse capital of the East Coast. Andrea, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Let me get back with Jack Howard from NASA and Roland Cabarrus Community College and Kristen Thompson from Davidson College. What kind of an impact would a cloudy or a rainy day have on this experience?
It will be depressing.
To say the least.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I'm retired. I've seen two partial eclipses. This is going to be my first solar eclipse.
And really?
Yes. It's going to be the first total solar that I've seen. I haven't been able to travel
because
and chase them.
I hate to tell you this now, then. The National Centers for Environmental Information and the Cooperative Institutes for Climates and Satellites, North Carolina, whoever they are, has crunched 10 years of weather data for August 21st. And they hint at potential problems for Columbia on that day, and they found that the coastal areas tend to be cloudier than those inland, and that clouds may grow as the eclipse arcs from the northwest toward the southeast. Clemson has a 75% likelihood of favorable viewing, Columbia only a 44% chance, and Charlotte 43%. So if you're scientists, remind me about how often meteorologists get the weather wrong. Please remind me of that.
I don't need to. I'm just sitting here wanting to remind you why I chose to head to the mountains instead of the coast.
So some of the people who have seen this before, and you kind of alluded to this, Kristen, have described this as a singular event in a lifetime and one of the Earth's greatest natural history thrills. Talk us through what we'll experience in a total eclipse. We only have about a minute left, but talk me through what happens.
Yeah, during a total eclipse, you'll first start off with a partial eclipse. It won't be total immediately, of course. You have to wait for the moon to physically transit, move itself in front of the sun.
And if you're not looking up, and you shouldn't look up, and we'll talk about that later in the program, but when will you notice that things, the light is changing? When will you notice that? How deeply into the eclipse?
Yeah, it'll take a while to actually see. You won't notice as soon as the moon starts passing in front of the sun. It'll take a little bit to really notice a substantial difference in the amount of light. But you'll see the moon start passing in front of the sun from the right, and it'll start covering more and more and more. And as the partial eclipse continues, you'll reach a point where we get what we call Bailey's beads. And Bailey's beads occur because the moon isn't just a flat surface. It has mountains, it has valleys. Mm-hmm. And the light from the background sun can pass through those mountains and valleys, and it'll create this string of almost pearl-like beads that you'll see along the edge of the moon. So that's really one of the first things that you really want to look for. Then you'll see the what we call the diamond ring, where there's one valley left. And as this thing proceeds, we should maybe talk about this more after the break.
Yeah, we'll
but there's a lot of things to look for.
We'll come out of the break and we'll talk about what the experience of the 2.5 minutes of total eclipse will be like when we come back on Charlotte Talks. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Corkscrew Wine Shop and Bar, located at The View near BB&T Ballpark in Uptown Charlotte, and at Brookdale Village in Lake Norman, offering wine and beer from all over the world. Relax, uncork, unwind, thescrewcrew.com. And Duke Energy, investing in technology designed to modernize the Carolinas energy grid over the next 10 years. More at duke-energy.com/future. Democracy in Venezuela is at a tipping point after a weekend vote for President Nicolas Maduro to continue consolidating power and rewrite the Constitution. Since the vote, opposition leaders have been dragged from their homes at gunpoint in the middle of the night. On Point looks at Venezuela's uncertain future coming up in 20 minutes at 10 o'clock. We will continue our talk about the solar eclipse, and you can join us through email at charlottetalks@wfae.org and other ways as well. We're coming right back.
In the thick of busy days and nonstop news, NPR makes space. Space for memorable stories, inspiring conversations, funny moments, too. For the news you need and a little bit more, Stand with the facts. Listen every day.
Stay connected at 90.7 WFAE, at WFAE.org, and with our mobile app.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about August 21st's total eclipse of the sun. At least it will be total in some parts of the United States, including the prime viewing locations in South Carolina. Jack Howard is here from NASA and Rowan Cabarrus Community College. And Kristen Thompson is an assistant professor of physics at Davidson College. You were talking about what we can expect if you're in an area where we can see total eclipse.
Absolutely. So we started talking about the idea that the moon is going to start to cover the sun from the right side, and you'll start with a partial eclipse. And you'll notice that as that partial eclipse evolves, it'll start getting darker. And this darkness is kind of a strange thing. We're used to thinking about darkness at the end of the day, mm-hmm. where it takes a long time for it to get dark. But the shadow of the moon is racing across the United States. It takes the shadow only about 92 minutes to get from Oregon to Charleston. So it's going quite fast. And in the Carolinas, that shadow will be moving across the Earth's surface at about 1,400 miles per hour. So you might actually, if you're on top of a large mountain or on top, you know, somewhere where you can see, you have a great horizon, you might actually see the shadow racing towards you as you're standing there waiting for this totality to occur. We also talked a little bit before the break about the idea of Bailey's beads, mm-hmm. the idea that just before totality, you'll see some of the background sunlight shining through those mountains and valleys, or through the valleys on the moon, and giving you the string of pearls on the outside. And then as totality progresses, you'll see what we call the diamond ring, which is where that very last valley, the very last part where the sun can still pass through, the last tiny piece of exposed sun, will create this gigantic bright spot, and you'll have this faint ring all the way around the edge of the moon of light, and it really does look like a diamond ring, hence the name.
Now, I talked to my ophthalmologist last night. I just ran into him by happenstance, and he wanted me to be sure to stress, and I cannot say this strongly enough, you cannot look at the sun while this is all going on,
Absolutely.
Or you will do serious, permanent damage to your eyes.
Yes.
He said, please make sure people understand that. You cannot. He said, I have seen what happens to people who have retinal burns from watching eclipses, and only takes that long, and it's permanent, and you can't change it, and it's horrible. And there are glasses that you buy, and I think they're giving away free in a lot of these locations, so that you can actually look at the sun. They have to be ISO 12312-2 certified. You cannot use a pair of sunglasses. That doesn't work.
Absolutely
correct. So when you're talking about seeing the things that you just talked about,
yes.
How do we see them? We use that little pinhole box that we did in grade school 100 years ago?
Everything that I've talked about so far, you absolutely need to protect your eyes while looking at that.
Okay.
Whether it's by a projection method, as you described, poke a hole in an index card or a piece of cardboard, project the image onto the ground, that would work. Whether it's using a pair of these specially designed eclipse glasses that you talked about, that would work as well. But up until
could you look
at
it through your phone won't work either. You can't just point the camera on your phone up to the sun because it won't work, will it?
You won't see it. It'll just, if you think about looking at the sun, it's just going to be overexposed,
yeah.
Right? So it's kind of tricky to do.
Okay.
But you do need to make sure absolutely that you protect your eyes. And everything I've said so far, you need to protect your eyes. At the moment of totality, for that brief 1-2 minutes, however long you have of totality, that is one time where you can remove those glasses. You can look at the sun, but only, and I must stress only, during the very brief moment of totality. As soon as the moon starts moving away and you get back to a partial eclipse, you must put the glasses back on.
Right.
You must go back to projecting the image of the sun.
So where can you get these glasses? I know some of these viewing party event locations are giving them away till they run out. I mean, if a million people are going to show up in Columbia, then they're going to run out. But can you buy them in advance? Can you go to a drugstore and buy these things right now? Or where would you buy them?
I don't know about drugstore. A lot of places, like you said, are distributing them for free. I have not checked this out personally, but I understand that places like Lowe's and Walmart have display racks set out that have a little cellophane package for like $2 or $2.50 that include glasses and include a little card with information.
Now, you were talking about some of the things that we will experience, aside from just the actual moon passing across the sun and and the sky growing dark and it being like nighttime. Are the cicadas going to start their noise? Are the birds going to be quiet? Is the wind going to die down like it does at dusk? What's going to happen?
You've mentioned a couple of things that normally happen. Keep in mind that as the moon blocks the sun, it's blocking the solar radiation that heats our atmosphere.
Okay.
So the temperature will drop here in the Charlotte area. My guess is it might drop about 5 degrees. Back in 2001, a NASA astronomer went to Africa and observed one of these and measured a temperature drop of nearly 15 degrees. So,
So will we see stars? Will the sky look like nighttime?
It will fairly closely. It's not going to be like a regular night where you can see lots of stars. The first two things people are probably going to notice will be Venus to the right and Jupiter to the left of the sun. We'll see a couple of planets. Mm-hmm. Probably will be some stars visible.
Well, being safe, I cannot stress enough, I'm told by my eye doctor, that I cannot stress enough, do not look at the sun. Not even for a nanosecond, don't do it. Yep. Get those glasses, the ISO 12312-2 certified glasses to wear them. Sunglasses do not work.
And I should also add, too, that there are some companies who are, well, I don't know if I should call them companies. There are some places who are manufacturing glasses that do not meet those ISO safety standards. So if you do purchase glasses, be very careful of where you purchase them and make sure that it's actually printed on the backside of the glasses that it meets those safety standards because you don't want to risk your eyesight, of course.
And there are other safety considerations with regard to this because South Carolina is going to be one of these viewing locations and lots of people are coming. Derek Becker is joining us for a brief moment now. He's the public information officer for the South Carolina Emergency Management Division, and they're making plans to keep you safe as you go to South Carolina to enjoy this. Derek, thank you for being here.
Well, absolutely. First, if you're coming to South Carolina, welcome, and we hope people enjoy everything our state has to offer.
Okay, there's your plug. 100 million people live within a day's drive. 100 million people within a day's drive of the total eclipse region of the country, which spans from Oregon through South Carolina. And you're expecting, I was told a minute ago by Andrea, more than 1 million visitors for several days on either side of this eclipse. What problems does that pose for emergency management folks like you?
Well, not necessarily problems, but things that we should plan for and things that we need to be ready. Partnerships are everything in emergency management, so we've been working very closely with our State Department of Public Safety, our State Department of Transportation, and several other agencies really since November to look at the estimates that we're getting from NASA, and they say anywhere from 500,000 to even over 2 million people could potentially be coming to South Carolina. That means a lot of people very quickly. Folks at home should be prepared as well. You know, go ahead and ask yourself, start that planning process and ask yourself, what is your plan for the eclipse? Plan to go and go ahead and get groceries the week before. Keep your car filled up with gas. That way you don't have to wait in line. If you have a plan, leave early. Give yourself plenty of time to get to where you're going to go. I think Andrea said that a few minutes ago. But there's going to be large crowds, businesses as well. We're expecting a big jump in customers for all of our businesses. We're asking them to, you know, stock up on their normal wares, if you will, and be prepared to accommodate folks with some unusual requests.
As we're talking about this now, and it's only August the 2nd, and as we get closer to this event, obviously this will dominate the media, one would think, unless something goes on in Washington.
Right.
This will dominate the media, so it's unlikely that people will be caught off guard by the total eclipse. But there may be some people who haven't tuned in and don't know what's going on. And there may be some people who are confused about what to do if they're on the highway. They're not necessarily driving anywhere to get to see a viewing party. They're just happening to be passing through South Carolina. What are you telling motorists? Are you anticipating that they'll pull over and stop and,
well, that,
and
that
watch?
That is one of our concerns, and we're working with the Highway Patrol on trying to get that message out there that if you're driving, number one, try to wear your eclipse glasses while driving. That wouldn't be a good situation for anybody. But number two, if you're driving while the eclipse is occurring, don't pull to the side of the road. Don't stop in the middle of any roadway, interstate or otherwise, and just keep moving. So the key for that is if you're headed to an eclipse destination, try not to be late by giving yourself plenty of time to get to where you're going. And when it comes to leaving, stay there well after the eclipse is over. There will be lots of entertainment, lots of different events going on for you to enjoy. So go ahead and stay there for as long as you can. That way the roads might be or should be clear by the time you get ready to leave.
And the good news with this eclipse is the sun will be relatively high in the sky. It won't be on the horizon like it is at sunset, so the eclipse glasses for people driving aren't necessary. What about traffic? Cities in the path of the total eclipse report that hotels are already at a premium. I think hotels downtown in Columbia, for instance, are pretty much sold out, although you can get motels around the outskirts of downtown. And there'll be a lot of, I would think, last-minute arrivals, people who just wake up in the morning and think, all right, let's do this. This sounds like fun. I'm going to call in sick. And officials in Oregon, for instance, are predicting clogged interstates in that state. They're saying that people in their smaller towns who will have never seen traffic like this. So are you worrying that the same will be true in South Carolina?
Well, South Carolina has one advantage to it. It's called Every Saturday in Autumn. And our Highway Patrol, Department of Public Safety, Department of Transportation, they're looking at it as, you know, slightly busier than a holiday weekend or even a football Saturday where we've got Clemson, Carolina, Citadel, and Coastal Carolina all playing at the same time.
But there are a lot of smaller towns in between Columbia and where this eclipse will begin in the mountains of South Carolina. Smaller towns might be a place where people will think, I should go there to avoid the crowds, but then there'll be crowds there, right?
Right. We're expecting crowds in smaller towns outside of Columbia. We're looking really at 33 counties in South Carolina, 33 out of 46 that could potentially see a lot of people there. Newberry, for example, they're planning to shut down their main street and have a big eclipse fest, as they're calling it. Greenwood County, which is a little smaller than Greenville in the upstate, they're planning some eclipse events as well. So what we've done is kept in contact with each of our county emergency managers. We've asked them to reach out to the event organizers throughout their communities, see if there are any emergency needs up front that we could go ahead and fulfill and try to meet that need in advance. But if there's no emergency need, we've received no requests for state assistance yet, that line of communication is there. So the event organizers know if they have an emergency request on eclipse weekend or the day of the eclipse, they can contact their county emergency manager who will come to SCEMD, and we would do our best to try to fulfill it very quickly.
So we're running short on time, but there are a couple other things that I want to cover with you. It seems to me that I hope we're not making a mountain out of a molehill here, but there are lots of events that people celebrate en masse at the same time, not just this solar eclipse, and South Carolina has experience with that. You mentioned the football weekends, but there's also New Year's Eve, where people all over the state are celebrating and going to parties, and some towns hold celebrations as well. So you have experience with this. This is not going to be a first-time thing, right?
Right.
So bring,
and we're a hurricane state, too, so we're very experienced at moving lots of people very quickly.
But be aware that you, as a traveler through South Carolina, should probably bring some water and be aware of where medical personnel are deployed and where you can find a porta-potty and things like that. What about cellular telephone reception?
Absolutely.
If you have a million people descending on South Carolina and they're all trying to access the cell system or they're all trying to use the GPS on their phone, what happens?
We're all trying to post to Instagram.
Right. What happens?
Yes. Well, and that is a concern for us. And part of what we're advising people to do is, you know, make sure your cell phone has a good charge on it. Keep it charged either in your car or wherever. But when it comes to using your cell phone or any mobile device on eclipse day, imagine, you know, within that span of 92 minutes across the country, everybody who's going to be seeing the eclipse is going to want to do what? Post to Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, you name it. All of those people using the same system at the same time would be just like at a major football game, a concert, or any large venue where there are a lot of people using the same tower, using the same system. So we're asking people to maybe wait a little while to post your eclipse photos and your selfies and all that kind of stuff. Wait till you get home. If an emergency occurs, you know, text using text messages versus talking. It uses less bandwidth. And yes, definitely pack some extra water for yourself.
Okay.
Pack some sunscreen. It's August in South Carolina. That means it's going to be hot. People coming in from all over the country might not necessarily be used to our southern heat down here. And just, you know, pack some simple first aid items. That way, you know, you are the help until help arrives.
If you don't want to be hot, fly to Oregon and see it there. Derek Becker is Public Information Officer for the South Carolina Emergency Management Division. Thanks for joining us, Derek. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Some things that came in while we've been talking. Ken emails, why does it damage the eyes to look at an eclipse, but not, I hope, when you look into the sun driving during the daytime, like driving into a sunset? It does hurt. Is it worse during an eclipse?
There is nothing different, absolutely nothing different about the sun during an eclipse than any other day. This is something people tend to think that it's somehow different, but it's not. You tend to look longer during an eclipse because you want to see it. You tend to stare more, so you really need to protect your eyes.
And Renee emails us, a friend who works for Western Carolina University, which is in the path of totality, told me that the day of the eclipse is the first day of classes. Students will be moving into the dorms that weekend. However, most, if not all, of the hotel rooms in the surrounding area have been booked by eclipse enthusiasts for a couple of years. No room for parents. And Jill and Matthew says, my fiance and I planned our wedding around the solar eclipse. We're getting married in Charlotte on Saturday the 19th, heading down to Charleston with half of our wedding guests to see the solar eclipse on the 21st, and we are very excited. Well, I hope you all are. Jack Howard from NASA and Rowan Cabarrus Community College and Kristen Thompson from Davidson. Thank you all for the hour.
You're welcome.
It's been a pleasure.
A total eclipse of the heart.